You're listening to an OTB AM podcast. You can watch the show or listen live every weekday morning at 7:45 AM. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream for more stuff just like this.
It is a big weekend of the Super 8s. We've Donegal, Tyrone, Dublin, Roscommon, Kerry, Kildare and Galway, Monaghan, so all of that good stuff on the horizon this weekend. And to discuss it all, I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by Mayo's Lee Keegan. Good morning to you, Lee.
How are you doing, guys? How are you?
Very good. Thanks a million for taking the call. First of all, before we get stuck into some of that analysis, we were wondering, a Lara Corbett documentary from a couple of years ago sprung to mind when I heard you were coming on, Lee. And I don't know if you remember this one, but Tipperary had been put out of the championship a bit earlier than they would normally have been, and he was part of this documentary sitting in an empty ground saying, I don't know what the hell to do with myself. This is not something that I normally have to do. What have you been up to?
I'll be honest, I haven't been sitting in the dark corner any of the last 6 weeks or 5 weeks anyhow, so I definitely can confirm that. I suppose after the initial loss of Galera, just, you know, had a couple of days to reflect, kind of go for a few beers and catch up with the guys and maybe discuss what happened or what we could have done. And then after that, to be honest, I kind of got back to work and back to club training the following week and just try and keep my mind occupied, to be honest. So if I'm honest, it's been a really hectic kind of 4 or 5 weeks between club. Socialising has definitely been, it's gotten up 100% since we've been knocked out, and just kind of catching up with friends and family and bits and pieces like that. So it's been really hectic from that point of view. And because of all these interactions and bits and pieces, it's been really good for my head alone. And I have seen Blair Corbett, and I've always thought that as well. Maybe what would happen if we were to go out early, or what would I do, or how would I act? And to be honest, there's such a good, probably good people behind me that I haven't really had time to really sit down and say, well, the year's over between one bit and another, to be honest.
Were you on that Gareth Brooks video?
I was with two or three others hiding in the background. I wouldn't be much of a singing man, so I tried to say it as much as possible.
Well, it turns out Aidan is not that much of a singing man either.
I have no comment. I literally decide that.
Just one point on just something you mentioned there, just about meeting up with the players and picking through what went wrong for the course of the season. Was that is that just a cathartic thing that you discuss it and you sort of get it out and it's helpful to move forward, or is there a more concrete sort of, well, if you would have just done that and I'd have just done that and we'd have sort of tweaked it out another way, is it which one of those is it?
No, I suppose what we did, we haven't really had a more formal meeting in terms of the year itself, and I think it was just more just a general chat over a beer, and just in a different environment, and just saying, we just kind of sat down together and just said, listen, what were wrong and how could we have done better, that kind of generic talk that you have over a few drinks. So
yeah,
it's just one of those things where, really and truly, like, when we look back and when I look back, is I don't really have a complaint, because if we were to lose that and we were the better team, maybe we could say, well, tough on us. But to be really honest, we came up with a team that were just maybe 2 or 3% had more intensity than us. And if I'm being brutally honest, they probably did their game, actually, I did what we usually do, teams, they ran us really hard throughout the whole game. And to be honest, they could have won the game by 6 or 7 points in the end.
Just one other thing, Lee, before we move on to the weekend's football. I just wanted to ask you about your appearance on the Saturday game there at the start of the Super 8s. How did you find that first foray into punditry?
Interesting. I suppose it's new to me. Again, it's filling kind of a gap in the void, and watching some of the games that there is definitely different from my point of view. I suppose I have to brush up on some of my lingo with the likes of Joe and Tomas, who've been there quite a long time, and try and get my point across maybe. But I actually really enjoyed it, to be honest. I'd be a really enthusiastic GA fan outside of it, obviously, and I love going up to games and watching what teams do or how they implement systems and tactics and plays. So for me, I was only delighted to get on and watch from a different point of view for myself anyway, and try and take away a few points from the game.
What's been a tougher experience, marking Dermot Connolly or being a pundit alongside Joe Brawley?
Joe Brawley every day. Hands down, eh?
Don't brush up on the lingo too much, Lee. That's the...
No, I tell you, it's like going into a ring with a haymaker of a punch and he catches that once and you're hitting the ground. That's game over.
I'd say you wouldn't be shy about sort of...
No, with Dermot, hey, you're going 12 rounds. So.
Right, talk to us a bit about the football of the weekend. There's some interesting stuff and obviously things to be decided, even though, for example, we start with Galway and Monaghan, they're already into the semis, but we've just been discussing Dublin. Like, how much of a motivation and how much will it be spoken about, that idea of obviously they got to win to avoid the Dubs? It's a significant thing. Does that get spoken about much, do you think, this week, or how does that play out? How does it impact the game?
Yeah, I suppose I saw a bit of this game a bit as well. It's a really tricky one due to the nature of, I suppose, the setup. Like, we obviously know Galway into the semi already, but I don't know. It's going by Kevin Welch and the way he's kind of gone about the year, I don't really think they're worried about too much in the background. I do honestly believe they're going to go for this game full hold, or going hold, to be honest, because I think they see an opportunity to play another big team and to put down America again for the year. And to be honest, if the way they're going, people are criticising the way they're playing and bits and pieces. But to be honest, I don't think Kevin Welch is going to really care, to be honest, because he's in the semi-final already. He's got the luxury now of saying, do you know what, hey, we're going to take another big team here at the weekend on our home patch. And Ronan, I think, for them as well, it's really interesting. I thought they were absolutely fantastic against Kerry. I think they're a really top team, to be honest, with some really top players. I think the biggest problem for them at the moment is they need one more man scoring than what Conor Madison scoring. I think they're shooting kind of let them down in the latter stages when they had the game by the collar. So it's definitely going to be a really interesting one. If I'm to call it, and really, I really do think Monaghan are going to go for it hard. I do think they're going to pip them maybe by 1 or 2 points. But, I think it's going to be a really intense, tough battle with a lot of, let's say, off-the-ball stuff that we're not going to see on camera.
Yeah, and we can see how well Galway have done from the table on screen there.
Yeah, of course. And listen, that's, I suppose Kevin is always, he's not shy about saying they had tough mistakes in terms of physicality over the last couple of years, prior to even beating us. And from our point of view, they've beaten us 3 years in a row, and that's something we've experienced firsthand between league and championship, that they're really up the physical stakes. And you know what? I can only commend them, because they're winning games. I know it's not pretty at times, but if you're winning games like that, and be there by a couple of points, they are saying that, I suppose, to be a really top team, they're not getting rid of teams quicker. They're keeping the likes of Kildare in the game that time when they could have went further on and a man up as well. So that'll be a bit of a concern for Kevin if they come to that situation again. They really need to press harder and get more of the top players. And for me at the moment, I think we're talking with the likes of Shane Welsh and Damien Comer, but I think without Ian Burke at the moment, these guys are not going to be getting on half the water scores as they are. I just think he's like a little wizard or a little Messi in there and the top of the D, and his hands are just absolutely magnificent to watch. I tell you, he's one of the nicest players I've seen. Not nice, but one of the most skillful and influential players you see out there, and his unselfishness has been seen over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, like ultimately Mayo have got as close as anybody to this Galway team this summer. What was your plan against them?
I suppose our plan was we dropped a lot of numbers back to try, I suppose, negate their attack. We're very wary of what they have up front, and like for Shane Welsh and Damien Comer, and I suppose we got first hand in the league what they did do to us at times when we all kind of floated forward at numbers and what they could do on the counter attack. So it was really just trying to combat their counter and try and get a nice, not a slow build up, but try and pick pockets where we could. And we did that well at times. I suppose the send-off maybe had some form of influence in the first half. But if you look at the overall context game, we actually had a lot of chances. And when it came down to the team that had the one goal chance was Galway, and they buried it in Johnny Heaney. So like our plan was to, I suppose, get a turnover and a counter-attack as quick as possible, because they do sometimes commit numbers to their attack. And we did identify that, and we did start really well. But again, just I suppose when it came down to the last few minutes, our legs kind of ran out, and the injury to Tom Harrison, the send-off, I think that's had a bit of a brunt on the team towards the end.
Yeah, and even like Monaghan are a bit of an unknown quantity, obviously, as well. So we'll see. Big expectations that they haven't really fully met. So we'll see how that one pans out. That's Galway Monaghan in Salt Hill. We'll move on to Donegal Tyrone, Ali, just to Ballybuffet on Sunday. It's one of the more interesting games of the weekend. Donegal, obviously, with this long unbeaten run in Ballybuffet, 21 games, three of which have been against Tyrone. And a place in the semi-finals, obviously, up for grabs to the winner here as well. Where exactly do you see this Tyrone team at? They're another one that are sort of hard to get a bit of a fix on.
Yeah, I suppose if we look at the Tyrone Dublin game, it was a brilliant game for us to watch as neutrals and spectators. So I'd be expecting Tyrone to come out really hard. I'm sure they'll be well aware, as you mentioned, that they've got up there 3 times in the last year and got beaten, so that'll be in the back of mind. And obviously there's a bigger prize for both teams within there if there's a semi-final, so that's going to add huge incentives. Now I think there's a bit of talk about Tyrone that Mike Dandy could be absent to the game at the weekend. And for me, if that's the case, I think the pendulum could swing just slightly towards Donegal because his influence in games is huge. Although I did think he struggled against Dublin. When he did likes against Dublin, they did their matchup so well. So I think for him not to be involved the weekend will be critical towards how Tyrone's game plan is going to set up. But yeah, just looking at Donegal, I was really impressed. Now, people say that Roscommon is struggling in the Super 8, but I was really impressed that Declan Bonner changed things up a small bit and put Michael Murphy in the edge of square where we all want to see him. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. Obviously, he's not going to get the same space or time against Tyrone, but from a neutral point of view, to see him up there doing what he does best was really good. And the likes of Ryan McHugh, I don't know if Bon Gallagher is going to be there or not. Another huge player for them. I picked him up at the start of the year saying he's definitely he's looking at an all-star the way his year was going. So I think it's going to be, a really tight game. I think it'll be very nervy for the first 20, 25 minutes until hopefully we have a goal to kind of liven up. So for me, I do think maybe the Ballybuffet, the minority factor, I do think Donegal might have just a couple of inches or a couple of percent of them for the weekend. Yeah. But it's a huge incentive for both teams, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right about Gallagher. It'd be interesting to see if he plays and the Ballybuffet factor, of course. But from a Tyrone point of view, you obviously, like, you beat them in the 2016 quarters. I don't remember, Lee, who scored the winning point that day. There was only a point between them. But they are difficult. Like, they were picked apart, obviously, by Tyrone in the semi-finals last year, and everybody, like, Sean Kavanagh was out, and he was very critical about sort of plan A and only plan A, and plan A wasn't really working. Are you seeing something different in Tyrone this year? I mean, those injuries aside, that might point to the possibility of going a bit further this year.
Yeah, well, I suppose we've seen them. People say that they're up in Omagh playing Dublin. That was a bit of a factor, but we all know the way Dublin play and the way they go about their game, so I don't know about that, but just looking at the way they're playing, they seem to be a bit more freer in their game plan now. I haven't seen a lot to suggest their plan has changed dramatically, to be honest. It's still very much based around running harder teams, looking for the likes of your Floodens, your Hart, you know, these guys trying to lead the way in terms of scoring. So, again, I suppose, what I've been critical of them, like, I would have been very impressed with how they've gone in the two Super games, to be honest. They put up a huge score in Croke Park against Roscommon, really pushed Dublin hard up to the last two or three minutes. We all know how Dublin finished games. So I would be very positive in the way they have been playing and how they're scoring, but I haven't seen a huge change. And like I said, you talk about a plan A. I still don't see a plan B if things go really belly up in terms of if Tyrone get a big run or Donegal get a big run on them in the first 15, 20 minutes. How are they going to respond to that? Are they going to stick to the same game plan they have? Are they going to retreat numbers and run hard from there? So for me, I haven't seen a huge change, but I have seen a huge confidence change in the way they have been playing and the way they are, the way they're demanding the ball, the way they're responding to the team. So it's not a huge change in their game plan, but they do look a lot more confident and they do look like they're ready to battle up in Ballybuffet at the weekend.
Yeah, you would suspect that the matchups, there'll be a lot of focus on that from both camps this week, because they like to do that in this clash. They like to do it in a lot of Ulster clashes where they pick a certain man and they like to target him. And ultimately, you wouldn't be surprised if it's a hot encounter on Sunday where it's a testy affair where there might be a bit of a psychological battle going on. And I do wonder how big a factor that is in intercounty football at the moment, where teams are just basically trying to wind each other up.
Yeah, yeah. But like that was, I suppose, Tyrone kind of got like Tyrone against Dublin to a degree, because you're talking about Tyrone, you know, been very proud of their matchups and, you know, trying to negate the best players. If you look at the Doma game, Dublin got their matchups 100% right. Like, took out Peter Hart, they took out Sludden, took out Mally Donnelly, three of their key players, Tyrone, and they read the heartbeat. So it is going to be really interesting to see how they do shape up against Donegal. Now, in terms of matchups, I think it's going to be difficult. Obviously, they're going to be targeting Murphy and the Squareby's there. But like in terms of matchups, there probably won't be a lot, because again, when we look at the likes of these games, it's very much, I suppose, defensive focus. So you'll have a lot of counter-attack with players picking up maybe a different guy that he's marking at the start or a different guy. So you'd be just picking up lads that are running past. So I think it's going to be a really feisty and bitey affair. I think Donegal will bring a huge physicality to Ballybuffet. We've seen that over the years, and they've really intimidated teams from the start, from the throw-in. So That's going to be a key factor, how that throw-in goes and who gets the first score. And that's going to set the tone early. And I'll be honest, I think the referee is going to really have to stamp his authority early in the game if you know, he doesn't want that thing spiral out of control early, because we know how that goes, and especially in Ulster affairs, that things can go over the edge quite quickly if it's let. And I think the referee is going to have a huge job at the weekend.
Just before we wrap, I mean, I think nobody's really expecting any great surprises at Croke Park between Dublin and Roscommon. Dublin already through, of course, with a game to spare there. And I actually don't know really what even constitutes a surprise in the Kerry-Kildare game. Lee, what are you thinking?
Obviously, the Roscommon Dublin game, maybe just a word, like, say that, you know, people have criticised Roscommon hugely in the Super 8, but I suppose if you look at it through the year, they've got promoted, they got to Connacht final and Challenge Galway, they made the Super 8. So I'd be less critical of Roscommon, to be honest. Now, I still think they're a long way off maybe the top eight teams. And now people can say we didn't make it ourselves, and that's the case. But we've been challenged for years, so I think it'd be a bit unfair. But for Roscommon, I think this is a huge learning lesson for them to go forward the next couple of years. They are probably 5-6 players short of competing against some of the top teams. But for Kevin McStay, I think it's been a huge learning curve. And going to Croke Park the weekend and just say, you know what, hey, just throw off the shackles. If we get beaten by 20 or 10, whatever it is, at least we tried to play the game in the right manner and the right way. So I think it's an opportunity for them. A low confidence could be at a huge low. And then the Kerry-Kildare game, I suppose we've had Kildare firsthand. So they've been quite unlucky, to be honest, in the Springbrae. I thought they performed very well in the first two games. Again, just probably didn't have that clinical edge in the two games. When they're in the game, to be honest, they could have put the foot on a bit more and went harder teams like they did against us. So I do think Kerry are going to be maybe 5, 6, 7 points better at the weekend. But they're very much dependent on how the Man and Galway game goes. That it's going to be a really interesting weekend from that point of view. So listen, I'm hoping for a great weekend of football. I suppose after the hurling weekend last week, it's probably going to be hard to top the quality, the excitement and the tension and all that. But you know, football has reduced it for years and years on end. So I can't see why, you know, we're letting the hurling dictate so much this year. I know it deserves pundits and applause and all that because it has been spectacular. But you know, I think this is the weekend that hopefully really fires up the football and gets everyone talking about it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Just one last one for me, Lee. Then it's like obviously that result in Killarney could be completely futile depending on what happens in Salt Hill on tomorrow evening. Like when you were facing Kerry last year in that All Ireland semi final replay, were you surprised by how they altered in the second match and how they kind of went completely defensive and in a defensive system that essentially shot themselves in the foot? And you walked home then in the end. You were by far the better team then in the second match. And it does seem that when you kind of analyse games where Kerry have been in the melting pot this year, the likes of the Galway game in particular, that there has been a failure of systems. I'm not sure, would you agree with that, having seen it up close last year and how much they've come on this year?
More from a defensive point of view as well, I think they're very, they look very uncertain of how to mark a forward or a top forward. Like, as we could all see, and you know, Conor Gwanis had 1-1 after like 4 minutes against Kerry, and Fitzmaurice is very nervy changer for so long because I don't think he could rely on anyone else maybe to do it. Or for me, like Paul Murphy would be their best back. I would have him as the man marker, to be honest, because I've got to, I suppose, mark him first hand or play against him first hand. I would see him as one of the really top players in the country. But yeah, there just seems to be, like for me, when, as you mentioned, that whole wholesale changes like from say the Galway game to the Monaghan game, I just find that a bit dramatic. And maybe, you know, things are not as smooth as they were from Munster to the Super 8. And maybe that's a sign that they're just not as confident and taken. And I'd be more kind of inclined to look at their forward line, to be honest. I looked at Paul Gee the weekend. I thought he looked very off par. Maybe he's carrying an injury. You know, he had 3 shots in the first 10 minutes and he converted on them. James O'Donoghue came on, didn't get a score, maybe had 1 shot. You know, they relied on Donny to get 1 flick to keep them in the game. Now, they're lucky that they've kept it at the moment because he has really stepped up to plate and kept Kerry in the championship, to be brutally honest with you. He was, in his 2 games so far, he's hit 2-7, I think, and you know, all from play. So I think he's been absolutely fantastic for Kerry, and he's really stepped up to senior like at a breeze, at an ease, to be brutally honest. So I think the young guys are really setting up for Kerry. I think just need some of the old rear guard now to really, you know, go out Kildare again. I still think they're gonna win, to be honest, but if they do get the result, I don't know how much more they can offer in the semi-final like ourselves last year. Or, you know, when we played them in the replay, we couldn't get over how much space and time they afforded us. And they just gave us so much time to press them so hard for the full game that, as I said, we actually ran out quite easy winners in the end. So it will be interesting to see if they do get through. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be very tough for them, to be honest.
Yeah, interesting stuff, all right, and we look forward to the weekend. Listen, we don't want to let you off, Lee, before asking. It is that time of the year that you get the sort of general turnaround of managers and management team, and Mayo haven't been any different than that this year with some of the backroom staff announcing that they're departing this week. Tony Buckley's gone and Peter Burke is gone, and it seems like Tony McEntee might go, all of which suggests that Stephen Rotcher is going to stay on. I know he does have another, he's contracted in so much as that is a thing for another year. What's your thought on that? I mean, I think you've been there 6 or 7 years, obviously maybe 3 different management teams. In terms of that consistency, is it good timing for Mayo that there's a bit of a turnaround at this stage?
Honestly, I don't, it's hard to know, to be honest. I suppose change is a good thing sometimes, but I suppose from Stephen's point of view, to lose probably 3 of the guys that have been with us very well over the last 3 years and really developed us and pushed us to the brink of All Ireland, you know, that's tough to see. And them guys, you know, they owe us nothing in terms of, they don't need to justify why they left. You know, they have their family lives, their travel lives, their work lives, bits and pieces. So, like, we owe them hugely for what they've done with us. So I think the biggest thing for us probably is, where do you go to look for people, to be honest? Is that, like, there isn't a huge pick out there at the moment because a lot of the top guys are already with teams or they're busy with other sports or whatever. So I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for us, is to try and get a backroom team together. And, you know, obviously Stephen's well aware of that, and Stephen's smart enough to know that, you know, he's going to have to look hard and look somewhere for these people now. Obviously, Mayo being one of the top teams, I think it is quite appealing, and there should be good interest because, again, we have a lot of top players, and, you know, we should be very confident next year of, you know, coming back in January and putting in a huge year again. So, you know, from the player point of view, we're not worried about that, but it's just, it's who do you look to, where do you go to find it? You know, it's not that easy to say, right, we've lost three of our best guys in terms of backroom. How do you replace them three guys, or where do you replace them? So that'll be Stephen's biggest challenge now over the next couple of weeks. You know, again, from a player point of view, we're just waiting for, I suppose, notification and make sure he's been ratified again. So I can't really be saying too much about that because I don't know myself, to be brutally honest. So, again, we're very interested to hear what's going to happen. But I suppose from a player point of view, at this time, it's very much just club focused. So when we get a call to meet up maybe and discuss with the team where we're going and what we're going to be after next, maybe from the winter onwards, then we'll get a good idea of what we're looking at for the year ahead. But the three guys leave, yeah, I'll be honest now, I would have had a very good relationship with three of them, three different types of guys now in terms of how to look at the game and how to approach the game. So, yeah, so it's sad times because we lost to Kildare, but it was sad to see some of the main guys go like that. And yeah, so far the players are sticking tight, and, you know, they're just going about their business, enjoying a bit of the end time. And again, once the call comes around again, we meet up, I'm sure that'll get the blood book going again. So
yeah, absolutely no doubt. If there were any good club managers knocking around Westport, you could have some sort of like a super management team.
We're keeping him for another while. You know, it's like coffee, so you have to keep
him. Lee, thanks a million. Enjoy the games the weekend.
Thanks for having me on. Cheers.
So, if you like this, you'll probably also like OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream or catch the show live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook or offtheball.com every morning from 7:45 a.m.